but like, we have to stay down this track here. And how we're doing it is like, you have to practice till you can't do it wrong. You can't practice until you did it right. And that's where people always start backing up, because they start doing it right a little bit.
Yeah.
Then their process changes. Then they're like, well, I don't need to do that drill anymore. It's like, but that's how you got there in the first place.
Yeah.
So now to maintain it, it's the same process.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Have you ever actually listened to the podcast at all?
You can be honest. I have listened to a little bit, yes.
Which one?
I listened to McCain
Duger?
A little bit.
Oh, McCain's.
But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's one episode.
I don't listen to a lot anymore.
It's fine. I was honestly just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a dad
It's really
now.
Good, though, but I used to listen to podcasts all the time. I loved it. But
I think it's above average. I don't know if I'd call it really good. I don't even know what makes a really good podcast anymore.
I just think the rhythm of the conversation is good.
Yeah, it is true. Because like I said, we're just having a combo as guys being dudes talking about golf.
That's all I really care about if I'm listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you put on one or something and it's like, oh, this guy's going to be really interesting to listen to. And then the flow's terrible.
Yeah. Or you put on one and it's like, man, this is going to suck. And then they say something and you're like, oh.
This is awesome.
Okay, this is sweet. Yeah. Will Leaf, my swing coach, my very good friend. Friend of the pod, I guess maybe not as good of a friend of the pod as I thought.
Just the beginning.
Yeah, just the beginning. Finally on to talk golf swing, golf coach, talk about Carson Herron because he's also a friend of the pod. Mm-hmm. But why don't you introduce yourself real quick so the audience knows who you are. Yeah. And then we'll rip golf for 45 minutes or an hour.
Yeah, well, I'm Will Leaf. Got into coaching pretty much when I was in college. I'm from Winona, Minnesota.
Go Warriors.
Go Warriors. And then went and played college golf at University of Minnesota and dealt with some back injuries and things like that. So watched my teammates practice a lot, started to kind of identify things and watching from a different perspective versus caring only about your game. Started helping some of them a little bit, and that's really what got me into coaching.
And how old are you? Who's on that team or those teams? Because we've had a lot of UofM players and coaches on.
John Dutoit. I mean, Coach Smith. I think you had him on, right?
Yeah, Justin. Yeah,
he was my assistant.
Okay.
I played with John Dutoit, Tyler Lowenstein, Matt Raichy, Grady Meyer, Jose Mendez. Justin Doden.
So Dutes and Grady were on the same team? They're the same age? Because how old are
they
you?
They weren't the same age, but they crossed paths.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Because how old are you?
I'm 31.
So okay.
Yeah, I graduated in 2017.
How good is Dutes?
Yeah, he's
Is he better now than when he was in college?
Probably. I don't know. He's always so awesome. But you never know it, though. Like, he's just, like, minding his own business, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, I forget. Like, you're so good.
Yeah. I flirted with him probably twice, and like I know he plays in our member guest every single year, and everybody that plays with him will, like, come back, like, man, have you played with Dutes? And I'll be like, yeah, a couple times. Like, God, he's good. Like, he doesn't even sniff bogey. Like, it's crazy.
That's the thing, right? It's not flashy.
Yeah,
but it's just like smooth. The rhythm of the whole round, his swing, like the whole thing is just kind of like, oh, it doesn't seem like he's doing a lot.
Yeah, he's the guy that you play with, and then at the end, like, of the round, you look at the card and you're like,
yes,
did you shoot 66? You're like, yeah, left a couple out there
for sure.
It's like,
but
what?
You like didn't think he was doing anything.
Yeah,
he's just like hanging out doing his thing. And but he was always like that, you know, and that's what makes him good. But I always said he's like the silent killer, though, because then when he like gets in the moment, he also has that, you know, he's like such a chill guy, but when it's the moment, like, he rises to it right away.
So college, you had some back injuries, and you started like watching everybody and started helping them a little bit. You're like, you were a pseudo assistant coach or what?
Yeah, I mean, I got teammate of the year award. Senior year, yeah, dude, it was big because that's pretty much the role that I played my senior year a little bit, but through college, like, you know, I never really got into flow with my game. So it was fun to, you know, help others and think of it that way. And kind of interesting from my background is like, I never had lessons growing up. Like I never had a single golf lesson. I was just kind of, you know, from Winona, I just played, figured it out. I played other sports. So when I was in college and started seeing the like concepts of like actually working on something in golf, like a swing part and seeing ball flight change or fixing someone's problem, like I became addicted to that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is like the only part of the game that like is somewhat black and white when you're standing on a range. And if the club faces this or that, it's like, oh, we can fix that.
Well, how as a high schooler do you just figure out how to play like D1 golf? That's interesting, right? Like, do you attribute it to other sports that you played that had similar movements, or like how, like it, like in hindsight, right, or looking back, how do you? Cause that's really impressive, right? To not take lessons, just play the sport, arguably in a city that probably doesn't have like, you know, you're not up here in Edina. Like for anybody that doesn't know, Winona, obviously where I went to college, great. Great yeah, city. Yeah. We probably, actually in hindsight, we probably overlapped a couple house parties. but looking back, like I wouldn't call like Winona a place that, you know, really elite golfers come from, and a lot of like great golf courses and instruction. So like how do you get to that level and play D1 golf?
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't even have anyone to talk to of like, what does that process look like? Like, how do you get recruited? How does anything happen? I just showed up at the course and played golf all the time. And played high school tournaments. I didn't play AJGA. I didn't do any of that. I didn't even know what AJGA was until I was like going into my senior year of high school.
So what is AJGA for the audience?
American Junior Golf and Association.
Me. Oh, okay.
That's like where people get like that's
where you get noticed.
That's like where you get noticed. You know, they have like a pad at tournaments where like college coaches sign in, so players know like, oh, University of Texas is here, watching and recruiting.
Got it.
Like, I mean, I was playing in Minnesota stuff only.
Sure.
So I mean, really, I played basketball and I loved basketball, and I think part of that mindset helped, right? Like, I'm just competing, I'm just like, there's a job to be done, let's just do that. And just, I think something that's gotten lost even as a swing coach is the idea of just like chasing your potential as far as scoring. Right. So like every time I played golf growing up, I didn't know anything other than like, I have to shoot the lowest score I can shoot. And I was always competing with myself. Like the course record when I was young was like the thing, you know, and it's like, okay, so like, how am I going to get there? It's not like swing, like without any of that, without knowing anything, like what's my process of getting there? It's like, well, I better play a lot and figure that out. I better start figuring out like self-reflecting of like, why don't you shoot that score? And it's funny because like as a kid, it's not technical. Like I'm not relying on anything. And it's funny because now I'm a swing coach, right? But it's like, that was all about like, okay, I'm starting on hole one. What's my personal process of like beating other people? I don't care how anyone else is doing it. I don't know anything else. I'm just like, I have to shoot a lower score than you, which sounds like super basic, but that forced me a lot of times over years to like just figure that part out myself, which gives you that like belief in your own process.
Yeah. Kind of like the swing your swing, play your game.
Kind of deal. Right. Like, I mean, I hit like trap hooks a lot, you know, like it was kind of unconventional. I played with a 10 finger grip. Like I didn't have an interlock.
Like a baseball, like
baseball
like
this? Grip. Baseball grip. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Like this.
I never had a fitting. Like I just like went to the pro shop. I'm like, that driver looks cool. Like I'll game that. You know, and you sit there and you hit enough balls, you like figure out, you know, how to make it work. And I think there's an art to that. There's definitely.
Well, yeah.
But then vice versa, I'm like, I wish I would have had instruction, because it's like.
Well, so then what's the, I mean, now that you're a coach and you've coached elite players, like you've worked with obviously Siegel, who's now like out there playing competitively. You've worked with, and I believe still work with, all of the Herons who are prodigies, and obviously Carson. I think he played on tour twice this year, where he played at the John Deere and the 3M.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he's won the, he won the state open. Was that last year?
Last year.
Yeah. Really big name and obviously upcoming, and, you know, Lumpy's kid. So,
yeah,
you know, like now that you're a coach, like when you go back, what is the, cause the biggest thing for me that I've noticed, and obviously, you know me really well, and I've been working for probably close to a year. Mm-hmm. No, not as long. Cause I think I started seeing you last basically started in the winter, but I guess, yeah, it's close to a year, September, right around there. Like trying to find the right blend of like just playing golf and then like actually instructing golf. And like you talk a lot and Siegel talks a lot about the way that you practice and how you get taught, and then like kind of throwing all that away and then just going out and like playing. Like that's the hardest part for me. And so like, what do you see when it, like in hindsight now, if you knew what you knew then, what is the right blend? And for people out there listening that are starting to take the game serious, like have gotten into golf, maybe caught the bug and are now like, you know, the whole, how do I break 80 or how do I like, you know, break par? What's the blend for people?
Yeah. I mean, I think starting with swing stuff is like nowadays there's so much out there. You can watch YouTube, you can watch all these things, and it's become way too generalized of like, kind of, if you do this, this will happen. Like, kind of like if you shallow the club, right? Like everyone tries to shallow the club. It's like, sure, like that probably can help in some way, but is that like a super long route to the goal that you're trying to get to? Like if you're trying to break 80, right? It's like, let's just identify how you move, what's going to be very possible for you first. Let's get to that. You know, is it, do you make terrible course management decisions? Like, is your short game not very good, but like someone comes and they're like, well, I just need to like drive it a little farther. It's like, that actually doesn't matter right now for what you're trying to do. Let's take care of the things to get you to that point, reassess. And then it's like, okay, yeah, maybe to, you know, be a scratch, now you do have to hit it farther. I think it just comes down to making a way more intelligent plan for someone to get as good as they can get. And you can get stuck in the swing stuff pretty fast, right? It's easy. It's even easy as a coach because it is the only part that's like right in front of you. It's like, hey, you change that, you're hitting it a little better, but I'm not scoring any better. It's like, okay, now that's a new challenge, right? And I think the blend of it is, it comes down to knowing what you want to do, having an appropriate plan for that. That's why like just taking a 1 hour lesson doesn't tend to work. Because now from the relationship of the player and the coach, you're not on the same page. You don't know where we're trying to go. Like the coach is just trying to get you to hit it a little better, swing it a little better. But this person just wants to break 80. And it's like it has nothing to do with that, actually.
Yeah.
Just
how you swing it. And I always think it's funny with us, too, because I had a stretch earlier this year where, like, you know, I would come in and actually the swing looked good. And then I would, like, text you after a round or, like, and you'd be like, dude, how did you shoot what you shot? And then we went out and played a couple times. You're like, dude, you're aimed fucking 30 yards right. Where you're trying to hit the ball. Like it actually came down to a alignment thing for a while. I mean, that was like a battle for a month until we actually got out there and you got behind me and you were like, dude, you're not like, that's why, you know, we started to fix that a little bit. And so it's funny to hear from your perspective as a coach, like, somebody comes in, they take a lesson, maybe they're taking like two lessons a week, and in your eyes, like, stuff looks good, but like you don't actually know until you get out on the course and see somebody play, because those are two completely separate things.
Yeah, the application process, right, of something. It's like, hey, you can make one thing better, but like how are we actually applying it to a way more fluid situation? So it's like knowing if I aim, you know, 30 yards right, like that's going to influence how my swing starts to shape over time, right? And that's why, like, I have a lot of conversations with people when they're practicing. It's like certain winds. Like, okay, if it's a left-right wind and I'm a right-handed golfer, like, how should I practice that day? Because if you sit there and you just keep hitting balls and you make it go straight, like, you're building a pattern. You're kind of, like, shifting the, let's just say, plane, for example, to make the ball go straight. Like, you're actually just hitting pulls. But the wind's holding and it's going straight. And someone's like, hey, that was, like, a really productive session. Like, I hit it awesome. And they'll text me and be like, I'm hitting it so good. The next day they're like, I just couldn't stop pulling it. It's like, you know, you just practiced into that pattern.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And so you need to know the, like, and that's where it comes back to the question of like the blend of playing and that is like, yeah, I mean, I do need to know how to play into that wind, but like, I'd way rather have you like do drills on the range and then go on a golf course and all different types of winds. And you're starting to adjust over time.
Yeah. I haven't, I've struggled with that. And we've talked about like, how to actually practice and practice efficiently. And now that McCain's been on at Wintong, I pick his brain when he's on the putting green. He's got like this long string putting. I'm like, dude, what are you like actually working on right now? It's like, when I think I'm working on straight putts, it actually might be breaking like a little bit left to right. And like, maybe I could see that, but he's like, no, dude, like there's just certain things that you have to like do that achieve, you know, the other things. Like not only is a straight putt, but like now I'm kind of getting the speed of the green down from like 8 feet. And that really helps on short putts and, you know, like the 15 footers. And yeah. I know those are a lot of putts that I end up having on the day. As opposed to me, like maybe I need to practice lack putting better because I don't hit it to 10 feet every time like McCain does. I hit it to 25 feet and like I need to practice more 25 footers. Yeah, so it's really, it's opened my, like this year was a long learning year for me because I didn't play to what my potential is, but it's also, you know, a good, like going into next year and the following, like I learned a lot of really good things about how to practice, how to approach tournament play, how to not approach tournament play, because I had some pretty bad tournaments too. So trying to like blend all that together. And then like for you, I think, yeah, we met at Empower, right?
Yes.
Because that's where you coach.
Yes.
like when you have somebody come in and just take a lesson, like what else do they need to do? Right. Because there's the being there, hitting on a track, man, working on the swing. And then you and I have talked about, okay, well, when you get back, when you're out there like practicing, here's what you need to practice. Because I think a lot of people, and this is what I did for probably 2 years, go take a lesson and like think that it's figured out and like just work on that stuff. And then you go somewhere else and do it. And like, you're not actually working on the same thing. Like I'll send you a video and you're like, dude, that's not what we talked about. Right. It's like, how do you actually tell people this is what we're working on, but this is what you need to go do for the next week, two weeks. And like, then come back.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of times people like the, not a problem with the lesson is like, you'll get them pretty close to the end goal, right? Like monitored practice for an hour, swing mechanics. It's like a lot of times the last video or whatever, I'll be like, that's it. Like you got it, but you don't have it.
Yeah. You got it once.
We're showing you that like you can do it. This is great reference. Now, when you go practice on your own, it's kind of like restarting that lesson over again. It's like, okay, I got to do slow build. I got to like figure out why this is happening. I'm going through my process of like, I start slow. I do this drill. I test at full speed. I'm looking at it. Not quite it. Got to go back to slow doing that. So now you're spending time on the range, working on what you're supposed to, not just like, hey, that ball went kind of what I wanted it to do. And then you'll text me and be like, well, I felt this to do that. It's like, yeah, you did that once. Do we even know that the feeling that you were telling me was the reason why that shot happened?
Yeah.
Right? So now you're just like guessing. And
that's not fun.
It's not fun, right? It's not fun for the coach either, because you have to get on a mutual understanding of like the priorities. This, let's just work to that. We'll deal with any other fluid stuff that comes about in conversations and your experience playing. But like, we have to stay down this track here. And how we're doing it is like, you have to practice till you can't do it wrong. You can't practice until you did it right. And that's where people always start backing up, because if they start doing it right a little bit,
yeah,
then their process changes.
Yeah.
Then they're like, well, I don't need to do that drill anymore. It's like, but that's how you got there in the first place.
Yeah.
So now to maintain it, it's the same process.
Well, and then what do you, so kid like Carson, right? Like, how long have you been working with Carson?
I've been working with him the winter going into his senior year of high school.
So
five years.
Yeah. Somewhere in there. It's like now. A while now, right? And to see him go from, call it, you know, high school all the way through college. Now he's playing at like the highest level there is in golf, right? Like, he's played on the PGA Tour a couple times. How do you manage and like work with somebody like that, the guys and gals that come into Empower that might are probably anywhere from like a scratch to a 20 handicap, and like manage everything in between, right? Like that, I've always been really curious about that from a instruction standpoint of working with somebody that's literally just played on the PGA Tour last week, and then you know, somebody that's like maybe trying to break 100.
Yeah, and that process isn't different. And that's the misconception, I think, is a lot of times it's like, okay, like Carson, like I feel like for the last 2 years, we've worked on the same thing, like over and
to
over.
Perfect it. Like, instead of, like do it to where you can't.
The exact same. Like, of any lessons that you stood in on and you were just like a fly in the wall, I'd be like, those are the ones you don't want to be at, because it's just the same thing over and over. Like, it's not interesting. But when we first started, it's like the same person trying to break 100. It's the same thing. We're just building that process. We're gelling together. We're figuring out what works. Because that's the playing side. You know, it's not just like, hey, your swing's this, you need to do that, you're good. It's like, no, we need to become very on the same page, where now he can just send me a video. And a lot of times it's like, sometimes he doesn't even send me a video. He's just like, I'm hitting this shot. And it's like, yeah, I already know what that is, because I've seen you do it so many times, because we stayed in the same process.
Yeah.
Or if we jumped all over the place, right? It's like, now I don't know, because it could be that, this, or the other thing that's causing that same shot.
Well, so then speaking of like jumping all over the place, I also, you see now, like, you know, this is at the pro level, but even probably at collegiate levels and maybe even high school now, I have no idea. It seems like, you know, the players have, call it teams, mm-hmm. right? Where you have like a mental coach, you have like a, I don't know, actually golf coach, where it's more of like the strategy, maybe just like their day-to-day routines. Also, mm-hmm. you probably have like somebody that you work out with, and then you have like swing coach and maybe even short game and putting coach. Like, right. you can have all of that. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
I mean, I think it's unnecessary. Like, I think then it can get a little messy of like, who am I going to for what? Because like, okay, so for Carson, even like, he's taught me so much about his short game, and it's so good that like, I feel like I just need to keep eyes on it and let him talk to me about it. And he always figures it out, right? Like, I don't feel like I'm going to give him some like golden nugget in short game.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and I think in that way, now he's practicing short game so well, because he's like, kind of goes back to me when I was a kid. It's like, okay, well, I don't need like a ton of information on this thing. I need to like know why I'm good at it. And I need to just keep doing that and build my own process, where like, if you have all these different people, like, I know I would feel overwhelmed if I'm like, I have like all this to do with my putting, all this to do with my short game, all this to do with my full swing. And it's like, no, you're already good enough at this thing. Don't go so much deeper into that. Spend your time doing what you need to do. Like, he's a great example. Like, he, the thing I say with him is, he doesn't have a weakness, right? And that's rare, like, even on the PGA Tour. It's like, to not have an actual weakness. Sure.
Are you referring to just like everything, or specifically his game, where it's like, you know, the putting, chipping, approach, driving, mental, was kind of like the five buckets, I think.
All of it. Like, I just don't think he has a weakness.
Yeah, he doesn't like drive it super well and like struggles around the green.
Right. He's not like, I'm not like ever worried about a part of his game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where I think like, for him, if he tried too hard at certain parts, it would get worse. Like, if he tried to figure out, it's kind of like, I don't know, let's take you for example. You drive
great example.
Perfect. You drive it good, right? And it's like, okay, are there things you could do to like try to make that better? Of course, there always are. But like, is it worth it? Not at all.
Yeah.
Like, because
my strokes gain whenever I do it is like even or plus every single time. Like, it's very rare that I have a minus strokes gain off the tee.
Right. And like, you do it somewhat in a technically unique way, right? But now it's just understanding, like, I remember we had some conversations with the alignment. Is like, okay, you aim your irons way right. Well, driver, you're like kind of okay at aiming right, because if you hit up on it, it moves the everything a little more centered, like the path and how it matches up with swing direction. It's like, that makes sense. That's why you're good at it. Do we want to change that? No, not really. So like, it's identifying, sometimes a lesson is knowing what you're good at and protecting that. Like, I have kids, young kids come in and they do things, and I'm like, I'll be honest, like, some instructors will probably try to change that. I'm like, don't ever touch that. And then this is why. Like, you need to own why that's good and explain to them why that unique pattern's good. Jim Furyk was the same way, right? Comes full circle. Everyone was like, oh, that swing's weird. A college coach, I think, said that they would have to change his swing. Now, full circle, being able to measure everything, we realize that he's got like unbelievably solid mechanics where it matters.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, it's like the other stuff in it that makes it look, it's kind of like Scotty's thing with his feet, or his feet. John Rahm's like, you know, crazy wrist and like look short looking swing.
Yeah. So it's like, you look at it and it's like, sure, aesthetically weird. But then if you break it down, you're like, actually, that's really good in this way.
Well, so then to I'll just play devil's advocate for a second, because I think you're right, like on, and again, back to me, for example, the driving. But then I do that same thing with the irons, mm-hmm. right? And like I aim right. Now, so like when you go to fix one thing, and Beef, who's been on the podcast a couple of times, said this a lot of times, like you look at players, they're usually, if they're really good at one thing, it might struggle with another thing. Mm-hmm. And for me right now, it's been driver. And then like my approach is off, because like the things that make my driver really good, maybe aiming right, hitting a pull cut, kind of leaning back and hitting up on it. When I do that with the iron and I'm aimed right, and I try to do that, like I hit it heavy, I just like dead pull it, or if I actually hit it straight, like I'm aimed mm-hmm. 30 feet right of my target. It's like, oh, you actually hit a good shot, but maybe you put it in the bunker, like it's nowhere near like where your intended target was. So like, how do you, you know, how do you blend that? Or like, how do you say to somebody like these kids, like, never change your driver, but we need to work on this, and then that thing that you're working on might mm-hmm. without knowing it change the driver, right? Like, how do you approach that?
So that's where it comes down to, like, with practice, being able to sit there and identify, like, okay, this is my problem. This is what I'm good at. Now I'm shaping practice with reasoning. So it's like, okay, if I'm going to sit there and be like, I aim right with my driver and that helps with my irons, then I better be more structured with my irons in practice, identifying that problem. So for you, right, it's like you should never on the range hit a shot without an alignment rod, making sure your irons alignment's good. Because your body, I go back to the conversation of the wind or where your alignment is, it'll shape your swing, right? So you can use alignment rods and understand, like, this is where I aim with driver and this is where I aim with irons. And now your equilibrium, your feels, your perception of aim will start to take place, because you know, if I aim here and I've practiced this with driver, this produces something good. If I aim here long enough with my irons and I practice it, this produces good. I'm being good at both. It's not like I just have to be good at the, like, that's why I think aiming straight, like just sitting there with a lime rod and keeping it exactly where it is dumb, because the attack angle is going to change. So we better aim different. So the more up I hit on it, so like LPGA Tour players are the greatest example. I think it was like Christy Kerr hits like 6 degrees up on it, right, with her driver, and she aims quite a bit right. But she just hits like missiles dead straight down the middle. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then if you watch her hit an iron, she's not aimed that far right. It's like, okay, yeah, she's a professional golfer. She has that figured out intuitively. But if you don't have it figured out intuitively, you better be practicing that way.
Yeah.
Because if you take Christy Kerr and you aim her down the middle of the fairway right away and she swings the same way, she's hitting a slice. Just that's like what has to happen with physics and what's going on. Now, she's so good, she'd figure it out. But when you start looking at it that way, you can identify, like, that's your personal process. Like, this is how I have to practice.
Yeah.
You know? So for you, it's like if you ever allowed yourself to hit a ball in the range without an alignment rod and a 7-iron, you're aiming right, it's like fail. Like, I don't care how good the shot was.
Yeah.
That's not going to help you.
Hmm. Yeah. I haven't thought about it that way. And this is the thing that, this is like the next level of, call it, practicing, or where I think people go wrong. And just because I have a golf podcast and, you know, talk about it all the time, whenever I play with people, they're always like, oh, who have you talked to? Like, what are you talked about lately? And like, what's, you know, what's the next thing that you've figured out? And it's really funny, because this year I've noticed a lot. It's actually been the opposite. It's like, it's almost, I don't want to say getting back to basics, but like it kind of is getting back to basics a little bit. And I always go back to the fact that I think a lot of, you know, call it like the guys that I play with that played in high school or college or any type of competitive golf, like the things that you're talking about are the things that, like in any sport, were kind of like the 101s that you learned sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th grade. And for a lot of golfers out there who never either played competitively or never played like in high school or college, it's like explaining to them, like when you started basketball, practicing dribbling with like both hands, right? It's like, this is the stuff that people just did and they're basic to them. But if you never did that, it was never basic to you. It was like never part of just the thing that you learned. To your point, you just like picked up a golf club and you started going out there. You went on YouTube and and found a practice thing, but nobody ever talks about, you know, hey, check out my video on how to just like put an alignment stick down when you're on the range.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like, or how to practice a straight, you know, 8-foot putt when you're out there, like Those are the things that nobody talks about, but actually probably make some of the biggest differences, I think, in in somebody's game.
And a lot of times it doesn't start right away. Like, you kind of, to your point, like, you come back to those like fundamentals, right? Because you identify, like, kind of like driver, right? Is like, actually for you sitting there and practicing with alignment rod, aimed perfectly at your target, all that stuff, like, isn't going to help you that much. So, like, knowing where you have to aim, like, Kenny Perry's another one. If you go watch him on YouTube, it looks like he's aimed all over the place. How about Bubba Watson? You know, like, they're never aimed straight, but they have intuitive, like, if you measured what was going on, it would make sense. Like, oh, he aims there, and then you, like, see his numbers and all the things going on. It's like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Bubba hates, he can't see a straight shot. You know what I mean? Because he's, like, formed to something. He's done it for so long that, like, you would never tell Bubba, like, hey, man, you should probably go on the range and, like, just use an alignment rod and, like, aim straight.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You're getting nowhere.
Yeah. Also want to talk to, because you've been super helpful with me this year with equipment, because I historically change everything multiple times a year. And even though I have made some tweaks this year, it's been way less than in the past. And I find it interesting talking with you and McCain and others who, like, you know, you, eventually golfers are going to get to a point that, you know, I don't want to say plateau, but I think there are levels to the game where, you know, let's say you're trying to break 90 and, like, okay, now you're consistently breaking 90 and you found, like, a good, you know, good game to lean on. Mm-hmm. It's time to match equipment to all that stuff. And the one question everybody has all the time is, should I get fit first or should I get a lesson first? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, which one is it? And so I kind of want to talk about, like, matching equipments to swings and swing changes, because if I've, as I have noticed specifically this year, when I've changed or made changes to my swing, all of a sudden, like, it actually does matter the type of shaft I'm playing. Or Andy would be a great example of, like, he really changed this swing this off season to, you know, the more upright and having those, like, Modus shafts that kick at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you were to give him his old equipment, like, he'd have no chance, no right? Chance. And, like, it actually does make a really big difference, especially the better you get, the lower that your handicap gets. So I want to talk about a little bit matching equipment to swing, and also the age-old question of, like, do I get fit first and figure out equipment, or do I need to, like, figure out the swing first?
Swing first.
Always. Because
the swing first is going to help you, like, understand what you should be using.
Yeah.
Even if you don't, like, change your swing a lot, but it's like you have to know, like, what you're trying to do, what type of force do you put on the handle at certain points of the golf swing, like, how does your body move? And from there, it's like, now you can actually start thinking about, so, like, even if you were to go into fitting, it's like, people go into fittings without any sort of, like, plan, right? And that's, to me, that's unfair to the fitter, in a way, is, like, because, sure, they can just be like, yeah, this is better, right? But you're not spending that much time with someone,
yeah, right? Well, as an example, this is probably, like, a month and a half ago, where you're trying to figure out, like, shaft for me, and you were like, when you go in there, I want you to try these three things, and you need to tell him you want your 7-iron to go this height, this spin, and this launch. And so, like, when I walked in, like, that was it. Was like, all right, that's our goal. Like, that's what we're going to work towards, and tried a bunch of stuff to get there.
Yeah, and, like, I'm not a fitter, and, like, I don't really care what someone uses, but it's, like, knowing, like, so if I go out on the golf course with you, it's, like, you start seeing tendencies or things that go on. And it's like, okay, well, what can we put in your hands that's going to just help you accomplish what you want? Like, what's going to make it? It's kind of like the alignment thing. It's like, if you have something, you're holding on to it, you'll start reacting. Things will start organizing a little better for you. And sometimes it feels like you're not doing anything different. But over time, like, that stuff will start to, you know, mold together. And that's where it come down to this is like, yeah, I'm a swing coach. But, like, all I am is the same as everyone else. I'm just, like, trying to learn from everyone, anything, different experiences of, like, how can we all just try to get to this common goal that we want? And we all have a goal. I don't care if it's to break 100 or if it's to win on the PGA Tour. It's the same process.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where, like, if everyone can get into that mindset of, like, I need to look at this thing overall. Like, it's not just a swing. It's not just equipment. You know, it's not just, like, one lesson here and there. It's like, no, you have to be willing for the peaks and valleys to start figuring out what the main causes are for your problems. And some people are. It's like you swing it so good or you do this thing. It's like actually it's like an equipment thing. You know, yeah. Like I don't like I'll sit there and be like, do I really want to do anything with your swing? Like, not really. So it's like it might be more of an equipment thing. Is it mental? Is it strategy? Like, let's look in those directions first. We can always come back to the swing stuff if we need to.
Yeah. Like, how much does, like you've worked with Carson now 5 years. I'll just keep going back to him because Everybody knows him. He's been on. He's an amazing kid. Obviously has a bright, bright future ahead of him. Taking him as an example, I mean, you said that you work on, you know, a lot of the same mundane stuff over and over and over, which is a theme, I think, for a lot of professional golfers. But When it comes to the, maybe call it like equipment side, I mean, how much is he tweaking stuff? Because it's really funny nowadays to see, you know, all these pages that follow PGA Tour players and like new equipment. And obviously, you know, they have equipment deals and stuff, right? Like, I think everybody's talked about like Rory and the QI 35, like trying to go back to the QI, because there's just, there is that side of it. But, you know, maybe for somebody like Carson or the people that don't have these massive equipment deals, like how much are they tweaking stuff, if at all? Because I see a post every single week now about this guy who goes through what's in the bags, and guys are changing, you know, stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to follow and see.
I would say like my first question to that of like when they're changing all the time is like, what brought you to the conclusion that you should change that? It's like, I would be really interested to know, like,
is it course?
Is it
course? The grass?
Did they
is
hit
it...
one shot that they were like, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Like I should change it. And it's interesting because I just want to know the motive of why they're changing.
Yeah.
Because you also go to the point of like back to Carson is like, yeah, I mean, I would probably say his equipment's not even close to optimal, but he's also so good, right? Like, he's
like, do you really want to change it when you're that good? And
yeah, it's like Scottie Scheffler, you use that as an example too, is like, he's making some like weird movement patterns, right? And it's like, I don't know, I'm not with him. Could be because of like what he's holding and how he's making it work. It's like, okay, do you change that? No. Like, I'm not going to change
number one player in the world.
Right, like, I'm not like going to change that.
Yeah.
And so like with Carson is like, it's a much more slow build to maybe optimal. It's like, when's the time right? Like when, because the player at that level has to be the deciding factor. And it goes back to like, what made them want to make that change in their bag? Is like, sure, if he starts hitting a shot that he hates and it starts aligning up with some of the equipment concepts, now he's more open-minded to the fact that like, okay, that might be a necessary change. But if he's flushing it, and he's hitting it unbelievable, like, do I or him care at all what the numbers of equipment say? Not really. See what I mean? So it's like this very fluid thing of like, when's the time right? When does it matter? Also, what will it change like in his swing? You know, like, you have guys that like on tour flip the hell out of it, you know, and people will be like, well, that's not very good. It's like, yeah, but he also made like $25 million playing this game doing that. Like, what are we, like, sure, I might believe in something else, but also the art of coaching is like helping them be good at what they're good at.
Yeah.
And not taking unnecessary risks for like not much reward.
Yeah. It feels like it's one of those things in the game that has just been brought to light so much in the last couple of years with not only social media, but, you know, just like equipment and new stuff coming out every single year. And, you know, you start to like really dig into the data, and it's like, I think it's My Golf Spy that goes through the driver stuff. And they're like, at the end of the day, like the drivers aren't like getting 10 yards longer every year. Like, they talk about that stuff, but they're really not. Like maybe you need a new driver every 5 years. Like, if you're just totally looking at distance, but like really what it is kind of like shaft and finding a good head weight and like, you know, really optimizing your ball. And I think
matching it to like how you move it.
Yeah. To how you do it, as opposed to, you know, everybody like just gets the new model every single year because they're told that it's better. It's like, well, what's it actually better at? Like, maybe it's a little better at like the miss on the toe, but if you don't hit it off the toe, then
who cares?
Yeah. Why do you need it type of thing? So it's one of those interesting things in the game that, you know, keeps obviously places like Second Swing, people like, like me that go in there all the time, you know, to make changes and like try, you're always constantly chasing perfection. It's like when you feel like you're getting better, Like you feel like there's always these little things to change that are going to get you like a little bit better when, you know, at the end of the day, some of the guys I know that play the best, like make small little changes every year, but right. inherently they're keeping a lot of the stuff, you know, very, very similar.
Right. And to your point, like having second swings and all that, it's like, it's the best. Like you need to have those things for people to have opportunity to go explore that. It's just from the coaching perspective is like, I love being able to help the player just generally understand what they're doing. So when they go into a fitting, like the things that I don't know about fitting is like, that's not my job, but like understanding at least enough to just point them maybe in the right direction. And even if I point them in the direction and it's terrible when they go in there, it's like, that's also really, really valuable.
Yeah.
Like I need to know, like, I don't care to be right or wrong. I just like, it's something I'm exploring, trying to help you. If it fails, we learn a lot about that. It's like that can push us away from something and be like, okay, let's not spend a lot of time in that like realm here. Let's go a different direction. And they find something at second swing that's better. And it's like, if you come back and it's better, now I go into the coaching side. And I'm like, okay, why is that better? Like, I wouldn't have thought that maybe.
Yeah.
Now it like helps me learn and just like deepen my thinking of like, okay, well, if someone comes in and they're in a similar situation, like, now that's possible. Like, I want to look at that because that worked for someone else, you know, that in a similar pattern.
Yeah. Well, you're not only a coach, you still play a decent amount. So this last year you tried to qualify for the British
because
you were across the pond, right?
Yeah. My wife and I, with her work, she won a trip to Liverpool. So I went over there and gave it a shot. That was a crazy experience. I didn't do a practice round or anything. I think the night before we were having
cocktails. You only missed by like one or two?
No, I missed by like three or four.
Oh,
I
think. Okay, well, still, you weren't like that far off.
No, but the wind was different. It was crazy. I actually
played was different over there?
Oh my gosh, no, it's, I had crazy stories of it. Like I did, you think of like when you play and you check the weather app and you're like, oh, it's going to be like gusting 30 today at Windsong. It's like, you kind of know what that is. I'm like, yeah. I looked at the app over there and I'm like, oh, it's going to be really windy. And then I like hit a pitching wedge on my second hole and it took like a 90 degree left turn and I missed the green by like 40 yards left. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this is different. This is going to be some adjusting. But I recommend people going to do that. Like, I don't, who cares? Like, you're going over there. It's a sweet experience. They run it so well. Yeah, it was awesome. I play a little bit still, but.
Yeah, and you played some qualifiers and you played in the state, you qualified and played in the state open this year, right?
Yep. Yeah.
What else do you guys play in? Is like, because you're part of the PGA, correct?
I am not.
Oh no, that's Andrew. So are you part of any of the?
No, like, I'm independent.
You're independent, so you can play whatever you want.
Yeah.
And what do you normally put your schedule like? Because like you're still obviously a good player. I don't know. If I were to guess, you probably play to a plus four or something like that. Like,
yeah.
What do you still play in and get out there to get the juices flowing a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'll try to play as many like things close enough now. You know, like Nebraska, I'll go play there. I'll play, obviously, the state open. I'll do Mondays. I'll definitely try to do some more Monday qualifiers. I know they're kind of getting rid of them. But I don't know. I mean, anything that's easy to travel and works out, and I'll go play. I think next year I'll try to play a lot more. This offseason I'm going to try to take my own advice that I do in coaching and practice better and do some things like that. I'm going to work at Empower a lot. I'm going to try to get my body right. Now that I'm 31 and a dad, I feel a lot different.
Feel that, man. I'm 34. Dude. It changes.
Yeah. But
you got the dad thing too, going too. Yeah. You got the dad strength. It's all upper arms and your...
My left shoulder's been all jacked up from holding them all the time. Thanks, Griff. but yeah, no, I'm going to play in a bunch of stuff, but I would like to do Q school again. Like, I don't really care what I do with playing the game, but like... I still love doing it. And I love doing it with coaching. It's like being like, hey, yeah, I just played and I like went through that. Like playing in the state open is so fun because I have so many players playing.
Yeah.
And the conversations after are awesome.
Yeah.
It's like just the connection between like we were doing the same thing, same obstacles. What was your process like?
Yeah. Things like being able to see like what the course was like and being able to like go through the holes with your players and see the same stuff.
Totally. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes like that's half the fun of golf now is like the after round combos, like with your boys of like, oh, like what do you have in on 12 today? It was like downwind and, you know, it was like, like what do you hit to that pin? You know, it was like five on the front, right, six off the left or something crazy.
Or it's like hilarious because you talk and it's like, yeah, I made like seven on this hole. I like clanked it over there. I clanked it there. I did this. And you're all just like, yeah, that hole, I did this.
Yeah. You know how many times I had to explain to people how I made a nine on three?
Oh yeah.
They were like,
I can do it for you.
They were like, yeah,
what? You're in the water and it adds up. And
yeah. Yeah. And like dudes was like, yeah, I've done that there before. Like,
yeah,
I hate three.
Yeah, yeah. I remember watching the gopher. Yeah, dudes hated three.
Yeah.
It's like a 190-yard carry to carry the water, and for some reason, it's just like mentally scary.
I was caddying in the Mac Cup. Shout out Winsong, the Azle team in the Mac Cup this last weekend. It's been a few years, maybe more than a few years. But I caddied for my buddy Mac Farley. Do you know Mac by any chance?
I know him.
St. John's. Yeah.
Not well, but I know
him. You'll love this. He hit the best shot on three I've ever seen in my entire life. So hole three at Winsong, probably most people listening can envision it. It's like, what do you think? It's probably 320, 330 to the center of the green.
Yeah.
Ish.
Doesn't he bomb it?
The pin. Yeah, he bombs it. The pin, like he carries it probably like 330 when he goes after it, like, yeah, 185, 190 ball speed.
Must be fun.
Yeah. The pin was probably eight on, so like right in front of the false front.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty center, but you know, it's still like seven from the right, yeah, or so. And the wind's like a little down and off the left, and Mac hits a high cut. Like, that's his ball flight. We're sitting there. He's like, you know, his partner's in the fairway. I'm like, dude, we're hitting driver here. Like, he goes, God, I think driver's too much. We got to hit mini. I'm like, I love it. Like, I absolutely love this. And he hits a mini driver. And I mean, his ball goes like up and like it touches angels. He hits it so high. Like, yeah, like sometimes you lose it. It's so high.
Yeah.
He hits a mini driver that starts at the left bunker, mm-hmm, and lands 10 feet right of the pin and like sticks. Hits it to a mini just driver to 10 feet, just a feathery cut mini driver, 310 on hole three at Winsong. I told him after, I was like, dude, that's the best shot I've ever seen on that hole. And the only way it could have gotten better is if he would have made the putt. And like, unfortunately, he didn't make it for two.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was the best shot I have ever seen on hole three, yeah, at Winsong. It was the craziest thing in the world.
Like, yeah, that shot's so easy to just like bail right.
Yeah. And be like, I mean, there's a million like, places you can hit that ball, right? And just like to not only land it on the green, but just like 10 feet right of it, just a little feather just a cut dart mini driver. Yeah. I was like, dude, man, I'm so far behind some of these guys. Like, it's absolutely wild.
Oh, I feel the same way. People, yeah, think it's so far.
Well, and it's cool. Like, you know, you hear stuff about like the gopher too. Like, you know, they play all the way back on one and they all hit like four iron, you know, like to stay short of the right bunker. Like,
about that. And I'm like,
yeah,
it's like windy and all these. I remember when I played in the gopher, I was like, I mean, I hit driver every time.
Yeah. Kids are hitting
four
iron.
If I hit a four iron, I'm like, well, I'm going to have to hit my driver on my second shot. Like,
yeah.
How are you doing this?
It's crazy how much the game has changed and like to see, you know, them play a course that, you know, like that. And just to your point of like talking through holes and shots with everybody, it's some of the best parts of the game, yeah, in my opinion.
It's the best.
Yeah. I mean. Well, shout out Mr. Will Leaf for people that want to find you. I think you're on Instagram, but I imagine they can just reach out to Empower. You're there all the time.
Yeah.
Coaching some of the best players in the state. It was fun to finally have you on the Member Guest podcast, man.
So much fun. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Thanks for hanging.
Yeah, of course. We'll do it again.
Yeah,
we'll,
no doubt.
We'll deep dive on equipment this offseason.
All right, let's do it.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you bet.